Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. As we continue on Paul's discussion and argument with the churches at Galatia, in regards to their tendency to want to live by rules and regulations rather than following the leading of the Spirit of God. The Judaizers were trying to convince the church at Galatia that they needed to keep the law. They needed to be circumcised. They needed to keep the offerings and the festivals and all those things. And Paul's trying to correct them. He's trying to let them know that there's only one thing that's required for salvation, and that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he continues with that argument by going and talking to a life situation, a standard of the day. And you know, as I got thinking about this, I says, you know, what do we do to mark the transition from childhood to adulthood? I've had this thought in my mind several times because almost every society has one, except in America. Do we have one? Somebody might say, well, maybe it's high school graduation. But really, at high school graduation, do we pass the mantle of responsibility to the graduate? Some people might say, well, it's college graduation. Well, sometimes that's true, sometimes it's not. But I think it's very befitting that back in these days, there has always been a point in time. Age varies, but there's always been a point where a child is told, you're no longer a child, it's time for you to start acting like an adult. And so Paul uses that analogy as he starts and talks to the Galatian church and the fact that they need to start stepping into their adulthood. And so in verses 1 through 3, we hear that they've been living under the influence long enough. So Galatians 4, verses 1 through 3 read as follows. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. And so, under the bondage of the elements of the world. Lord, let's pray. Father, we ask that today you might help us to realize that we continue to be subservient to what should be an old master. Now we really have not come into the point of really obeying you, following the leading of your Holy Spirit. We want to get stuck. We want to stay on our rules and regulations. So Lord, we pray that this morning you'd help us to see where we're in bondage. And you'd help us to make the decision to claim the freedom that we have in Christ. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the tyranny of the urgent. Freedom from the thrones and principalities and dominions of this world. Free to worship the Lord Jesus in spirit and in truth. Help us this day, we pray. Amen. Throughout society, there are customs surrounding the coming of age. And to the Jewish people, a Jewish boy that was under direct and absolute control of his father. But at the bar mitzvah, observed on the first Sabbath after his 12th birthday, the boy's father would pray, Blessed be thou, O God, who hath taken from me, the father would pray, Blessed be thou, O God, who hath taken me from the responsibility of this boy. And the boy would pray, O my God and God of my father, on this solemn and sacred day, which marks my passage from boyhood to manhood, I humbly raise my eyes unto thee and declare with sincerity and truth that henceforth I will keep thy commandments and undertake to bear the responsibility of my actions toward thee. Very clear and cut the line where a person says, I'm going to start taking the responsibility. In fact, it wasn't just the Jewish people that had it. In the ancient Greece, a boy was under his father's control until about the age of 18. At that time, a festival called an apatoria would be held in which the boy was declared an ephebus, a type of cadet, with special responsibilities to his clan or city-state for a period of 2 years. During the coming-of-age ceremony, the boy's long hair would be cut off and offered to the god of Apollo. So we see this, they're heathen, that was their god. But this is, nonetheless, there was this marking of the transition. At the Roman ceremonies, a boy would take their toys, and at a similar ceremony, girls would take their dolls and offer them in a sacrifice to the gods as a symbol of putting childhood behind them. And it was a custom that Paul alludes to in his comment, When I became a man, I did put away childish things in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. A child, by nature is heir of all that their father has, especially if you're the oldest child, right? And that's inherent. But back in the days of Paul, that's not the way it was. He was a heir, yes, but what he was constantly under the control of a guardian. The guardian would make sure that his needs were met. A guardian would make sure that he developed the right habits. The guardian would make sure that he had a tutor that would tutor him in the things that were necessary for him to learn in order to take over the family business. He had no rights of his own. He had no freedom of his own. He had to follow the rules until the time that he was declared independent. And so Paul is alluding to that when he says that they needed to come of age. Today in our society, it seems we don't have anything like this. But I wonder if it's a necessity. I wonder sometimes if we as Christians have not come to the point that we're willing to accept the fact that God has given us a responsibility to live by the leading of the Holy Spirit. A lot of us would much rather have somebody else making the decisions for us. We'd much rather have somebody else doing the work for us. And we don't bear the responsibility that God has given to us. And so Paul is reminding the believers in Galatia that it's time for you to begin to take the responsibilities of being led by the Spirit of God. You have a pastor that can advise you, but your pastor is nowhere as good as the Holy Spirit in leading you. You can't blame other people when you say no to the Spirit of God. You have to be willing to say, it is my responsibility to seek out the leading of the Spirit of God. It's my responsibility as a believer in Christ to follow that leading. It's my responsibility as a believer to know and to be able to discern between the spirit of this world and the Spirit of God. God has given us a responsibility to do just that. Yet we fail so miserably. So consistently. I'm your pastor. I should be the spiritual leader, right? But I fail too. But I keep trying. I keep trying to pass off my responsibilities. I try to stop passing off my responsibilities on others and take those things that I should be. You in the same way. What are the responsibilities that God is trying to impress upon your heart? Things that need to be done for the growth of this church, things that need to be done for the growth of your life. You can't blame somebody else if you're not reading the Bible. It's your responsibility to develop that habit and to pursue that habit. You can't say, I don't have enough time. Nobody has any more time than you do. We all have the same amount of time. It's a matter of what do we deem, what do we decide, what are we going to say is my responsibility. And so we need to come under that realization that I have a responsibility to serve the Lord with joy and gladness. I have a responsibility that I need to take up. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. My friends, you don't need to be in bondage to anything. You don't need to be in bondage to habits. Gaming habits. Drinking habits. Eating habits. We have the ability and the responsibility to overcome those options, to push ourselves to where it hurts so that we take on that. I loved it when Dad took care of everything. I loved it when I just go, Daddy, I need some money, and he'd give me money. That's not the way it is anymore. How would you like it if I was running over to everybody and saying, I need, instead of taking the responsibility to say, I have to work. In the same sense, we need to take the responsibility when it comes to overcoming our habits and our bad decisions. We need to take the responsibility. Remember, we were talking this morning, those of you that were here in Isaiah chapter 38, we were talking about Hezekiah, and Hezekiah made a mistake, a big mistake, and it would cost his children their lives and their viability. But he says, I thank God that he is taking care of me. Yes, I'm at fault, and I accept that blame. And so there's this need for us to be willing to accept the blame that it should be coming upon us. In the same manner, until we come to recognize Jesus as our Savior, we are held in bondage to our sins and to the elemental things of this earth, traditions, educational systems, philosophies of this world. I don't think we all fully understand how much the world influences our thinking. Let me ask a simple question. Don't answer, but I'm going to ask a simple question. How old is the Earth? If we go by the world standards, it's anywhere from 5 to 15 billion years old, right? If we go to the scriptures, we see a totally different answer. Which one are we in bondage to? Which one should we be clinging to? Today, the world says that a woman is equal to a man, and in many ways that is true. But if we go to the scriptures, and I'm going to get myself in trouble for this, but I don't care. I'm standing on the truth. You can hate me for it. That's fine. But a woman is to submit herself under her husband. That there is a hierarchy. It's not that the woman is any less capable, but that it is a willingness to submit. And so we have these things that have influenced our lives. And so in Colossians 2:8, we says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And so you and I have been under the tutelage of this world, and we need to begin to realize that. And we need to begin to push back on that. I think, and I could be wrong, that most of the people here have been 12 years in school. And they've been taught to read, write, and arithmetic, and a whole lot of other stuff. How many hours would that equal out to? Let's see, 12 times 200 days times 6 hours a day. You do the math. I didn't. Okay? But that's a whole lot of time. Now think about it. How much time have you invested in God's Word? In God's educational system? One Sunday a month. Maybe one Sunday. Well, maybe four Sundays. Maybe five Sundays a month. 1 hour. And that's all? How are you ever expecting to be freed from the bondage of this world and its corruption by such little input? I commend you for being here. Don't get me wrong. A little is better than none. Right? But I'm saying, folks, we need to learn to do better. If we are going to break the bondage to this system, to this world, and to the sinful nature that is in us, we're going to have to invest in training. We're going to have to invest in reading our Bible. And may I just go and say, you need to read your Bible. I love our daily bread, but it is no substitute. Just reading that passage in there, that little section that they write is fine, but it's not the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the bone and marrow, for it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You want to know where you're going? You want to know what you should be saying? Then you need to be in the Word of God. Amen. Right? And so let's start taking responsibility for that and stop passing it off. We are not under bondage to the world. We do not have to follow their educational system. We need to follow the counsel of the Word of God. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father's the devil, and lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You see, we have two choices in this world, people. I don't know what you think, but there's only two choices. You can follow the devil and all his lies, or you can follow God and all his truth. The decision is yours. The responsibility, that's what we're talking about, is yours. Which are you going to choose? If we were to go and take a look at 1 John 3:10. "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." Two groups. Those of God and those of the devil. "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." And that leaves the other one to be the child of the devil. What are you going to act like? What are you going to act like? You're going to act like a child of God? Or are you going to act like a child of the devil? You're going to bear responsibility for what God has put in front of you? There's no reason, and if anybody does not have a Bible, I will personally go buy you a Bible. But every single one of you should have access to the Word of God. I can take that almost as a solid fact that every one of you do. Yet are you availing yourself of the time to read it, to study it, to compare it, to pray on it, to think about it? And yet you'll make priorities for work, you'll make priorities for work training, but not training in the Word of God. Something's wrong here. So Paul says, you people that have been in bondage this way, that you've been in the tutelage of your master, you need to make some new choices. You need to look for a new influence. And so there in verses 4 through 7, we read the following. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God Christ. So the question is, where are you at? Are you a son of God? Are you a son of the other person? Are you a heir to the kingdom of God, or are you a heir to death and hell? Israel had been under the tutelage of the Mosaic law. And then when the time was right, they were to claim their responsibility and acknowledge that God had sent a Messiah. All the time, from Moses, the 1300 some odd years until Jesus came, they were being trained. They were being ready. The scriptures talk about the Messiah. And for those of you that haven't been in our study of Isaiah, we are about to launch into a huge, huge prophetic declaration of Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. They should have been studying that truth, and they could have recognized their Messiah, but they did not recognize their Messiah. When he came, they failed because they weren't willing to take the responsibility. His goal and the timing of his arrival was to set them free from the law, that's Jesus, and allow them to follow the leading of the Spirit of God and revealed through the Word of God, that they might glorify their Father God. You see, it was all about God. God was preparing the way. In the fullness of time, he sent his Son. We're coming up to the Christmas season when we remember that point where God, in all his magnificent plan and glory, he sent his Son, put him and confined him to a human body, and put him here on earth to be mocked, scourged, and killed by the very people he came to save. And so we need to be aware of that, and we need to be reminded of that. The Son of God redeems them, adopts them from the marketplace of sin, from the worldly heritage, and offers them a new kingdom, new responsibility, and a new inheritance. Not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom. Upon their salvation, the Jews and the believers in the churches of Galatia would be able to call God their Father. They would be asked, they would be ascertained that they would be heirs of salvation and heirs of heaven. Upon their salvation, in the fullness of time, when they recognize the Savior, they would then become heirs with Christ, being delivered from the bondage of sin. In Romans 8:17, it says, and if children of God, then heirs. Not the ones that aren't on my head, but heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Now, when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we have admitted that we have sinned and ruined our relationship with God, when we believe that what Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection, and call out to him to save us, we move from being under the tutelage and the law, and step into a place of being fully entitled children of the God of heaven as our Father. What other religion in the world gives its followers the right to call God their Father? I couldn't find one but Christianity. All of the other religions of the world say you are the servant to your God. And God says through Jesus Christ, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. And I give you the ability to call my Father in heaven your Father. You get to call him Daddy because he loves you. And so we need to recognize that fact that we have been translated. We have been taken from under the tutelage of the law and given the freedom to worship God in spirit and in truth. under the bondage to strict regulations and into a place of freedom and the ability to respond as the Spirit of God prompts and moves in our hearts. But that means that we have to give Him that reign. We have to give Him that freedom. We need to stop allowing ourselves to be under the bondage and tutelage of this world and its system. It says so many things that we have to do. And yet, is that really what the Spirit of God wants you to do? We need to be true to where the Spirit of God is leading us. We are no longer in bondage. We are free. And the Son shall set you free, and you shall be free indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom is ours. Colossians 2:15 and says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." You see, Jesus Christ allows us to have triumph over the ways of this world, over the plans of this world, over the principalities, the rulers of this world. Not that we're taking them out of their positions, but He gives us the freedom to have a fullness of life despite the corruption in this world. If we go to Colossians 1:16, it says, "For by Him were all things created." That Savior, that one that we put our faith and trust in, that Jesus Christ, by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And the world says, that's not true. God had no idea that there were atoms running out around out there. God did not understand the complexities of the endocrinology, the hormones in our body. He made it. Why wouldn't He understand it?
Right.
And He says, are you going to trust Me? Are you going to allow My Spirit to lead you? Or are you going to allow this world and its ways and its medicines to work in your heart? I'm not against medicine, but I am against it when we put them first rather than God. And that's the danger of the world that we live in. That's how we've been trained. That's what the world says. Trust the doctors. If they knew half of what they should know, it might be easier. But they fully don't understand. They say, oh, well, you know, look at all billions. There's been a lot of reports lately about what's a billion light years away. And as if it's taken a billion years to get here. So we're just hearing it now, is what they're saying. This was an article I read the other day that, you know, they're hearing these echoes from, you know, 8 billion light years away, which means if we went the speed of light, and we went for the speed of light, which is 186,000 feet per second, and we went that speed, 8 miles per second, sorry, and we went that speed for 8 million years, then we would catch up to it. My friends, God made this universe and everything that's in here. He knows all about it. There's nothing that He does not know. And yet we keep going and we keep looking at this mystical thing called the knowledge of man and go, whoa, look what we discovered. No discovery for God. God do it all the time. Not only that, does God not only know the item, but He knows how it's delicately balanced. He knows what the asteroids and the meteors are made up of. You heard about them going and grabbing a piece of rock off of some asteroid and bringing it back so they can analyze it. God knows all that. And yet we hang on a thread, we hang worried to death because of the things of this world. And we put ourselves in bondage to that system rather than looking to the Word of God, looking to the Spirit of God to direct our hearts and our minds. We trust more in the world and its system than we do in God. Oh, I know we have our problems with maybe say, oh, the judicial system, and it's not fair. And maybe we might say, well, our political system is totally rambunctious, but you know what? The rest of the traditions of this world, we have not let go of. We are not taking the responsibility that God has given us for our lives. We are not taking the responsibility seriously of looking inward and saying, God, help me to see what I need to do. God, help me to put aside those things that are squashing the work that You want to do in my life. We want to go back to bondage. And so we keep looking back instead of looking forward. And so in verses 8 through 11, we read the following in Galatians chapter 4. Howbeit then, when ye know not God, ye did service unto them which were by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to weakly and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years, and I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. And so what were they doing? They were continuing. Here were these people that had been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were thinking that the only way that they could get to heaven is if they observed the holidays of the Jewish festivals. If they observed these things, and if they did things according to the way the rabbis had written them, and all these things, and they were being in bondage, and they were finding themselves stuck and not making progress. And Paul said, oh, you're driving me crazy, folks. With all that I taught you, why are you still there? Why are you still doing these things? Have I labored with you in vain? Are you not learning anything? Maybe that's true today. Maybe that's true today. That we're not allowing the Spirit of God to teach us. We're more interested in our holidays. We're more interested in the occurrence of events. We're more interested in staying in tune with the world than living for God. Most of you know that I have 6 grandsons. 4 of them are adopted. I have one that was born, his mother was a prostitute. He had some trouble in the hospital. He was put in an orphanage. In the orphanage, he was tied to his crib and put on a pot so they wouldn't have to clean diapers. He was held facing outward so that he could never bond with anybody. I have another son. The mother goes running into some adoption agency and says, I want you to, I can't handle my son. Take him from me. Make sure he doesn't go into the system, though. And she continued on her merry way and had 3 or 4 more kids, and all of them the same thing. I have another one that is, he was found in his mother's arms. His mother was on the ground, covered with cocaine. And I had another one that had 2 head injuries by the age of 2, had been kept in dog cages, and had been drastically mistreated. And I ask you, what would you think if they wanted to go back to the way it was? I know none of them want to go back to the way it was. They may have been curious about who those people were and why and all that, but I'm sure they don't want to go back to that life. And I have to ask you today, what about you? You've been adopted by God. You are God's child. Why do you want to go back to that way you were? Don't you want to be delivered from those things? Don't you want to learn a new system? Don't you want to find a new hope? Then you need to be investing in the kingdom of God, not putting money in the offering. That might be part of it, but that's not the goal. The goal is you investing and learning what the kingdom of God requires of you, taking the responsibility to pray. Your pastor prays for you, but it's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to build the family of God. You need to pray for your life. You need to pray against those powers that are coming against you. You need to pray for those habits that are subduing you. You need to pray for an openness of heart. You need to take the responsibility. Amen. And stop making excuses. But what do? I can't, but I don't want to, but no. Excuse after excuse after excuse, we refuse to believe that we are the children of God. And that we have all of God's resources at our call. And that when God gives us a call to do something, He will take care of equipping us for us. Doesn't matter whether you're equipped right now. I decided to become a sheet metal worker at the age of 22. And I started as a sheet metal worker, and I saw what some of these guys were doing. I saw some of these massive structures that were going up, and it was all welded metal, real weird configurations. Now, I didn't know how to do that, but I made a commitment to learn. And so we need to make a commitment to learn. We need to make a commitment to try. What would have happened if I says, oh, I can never do that, I'm not going to try. You know? Yet we do that. And we need to stop. We need to realize we are children of the King. That God is our Father. His resources are there for us. Are we willing to call on Him, or would we rather call on the world and go back to those beggarly elements that we used to live by? The choice is yours and yours alone. Whether you make it or not, you can't blame me because I just told you what you needed to do. You can't blame God because He's given you every ability to do it. The only person that you can look at is yourself. And my friends, if you're feeling, oh, I'm such a failure, I can't do this, I've failed so many times, my friends, it's here. On your knees. Do you say, Lord, I made mistakes. I have not been listening. I have not been following. Lord, help me now. Help me to rise up and live for You. Let's rise up and let's sing. Let's sing a song of invitation. And the invitation is a time where you come forward to make a commitment. You can make it there in your seat, but maybe you will need some extra help. Maybe you want somebody to pray with you. Maybe you need to ask this congregation to pray with you. But the invitation is for you. It's not for me. And so as we sing, you make the decision you need to. Are you going to decide to follow Jesus? Or are you going to follow the beggarly elements of this world?